A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. This is the Second Amendment, and this is the Gun Guy.
Boom, 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 boom. Bang, 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 bang. Boom, 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 boom. Bang, bang, bang.
With Guy Ralford on 93 WIBC.
Well, good evening and welcome to the Gun Guy Show here on 93 WIBC. I am thrilled to be back. I've been bumped off for very legitimate reasons. IU football, IU basketball, we just heard a great win by the IU Hoosiers over Louisville. Fantastic. I was listening to that as I was driving here to the studio. From Terre Haute, by the way, where I was taking a carbine class with Revere's Riders, and much more about Revere's Riders here in just a minute. Great organization. I've had folks from Revere's Riders here on the show a number of times. But at any rate, I'm just glad to be here. I've had a lot to say. There's a lot going on the Second Amendment front. There's a lot going on nationally. There's a lot going on locally. There's a lot going on statewide in Indiana, certainly. So we've got a lot to get into. But as I mentioned, I had to race back down here to get down to the studio to do the show because I was taking a carbine class, a rifle class, with Revere's Riders. And I'll tell you what, as I mentioned, I've had folks from Revere's Riders here talking about their organization, talking about their training courses. And I got to tell you, I really enjoyed this course today. I had to leave a little early, which I will be the first to admit, I was not completely disappointed because my hands and my toes were ready to get in the car and turn the heat on because it was kind of a long day. We got out there, we started gathering about 8:15, so the sun had only been up for a while, and it was pretty darn cold. But it's a great opportunity, and the reason they schedule these, the reason a number of training organizations schedule cold weather classes is it's a great opportunity to figure out how well you function and how well your gear functions when it's cold outside. Because, yes, we may be called upon to defend ourselves, defend our families, defend our homes. Who knows, defend our country when the weather isn't perfect. And when I mention gear, and how well your gear works when it's cold outside. Is that your rifle? Sure. Yeah, but it's a lot more. How well do your gloves function? How well can you shoot? That pair of socks you've always considered to be your cold weather socks. I can tell you, I got some smart wool socks that have always been my go-to, whether it's a cold weather football game or outdoor training or shoveling snow. And they let me down a little bit. I need to upgrade both my boots and my socks a little bit because maybe it's just my 60-plus-year-old feet are telling me, hey, dude, this isn't working well for you. But how well your gear works, how well you function, is something that a lot of us are interested in finding out. And this is kind of an opportunity. I was thrilled to go take advantage of. And I got to tell you, let's talk a little bit specifically about Revere's Riders. And that class, by the way, went till 5, and a lot of folks were not only from all over Indiana, but were from outside Indiana, who drove into Lost Creek Conservation Club outside Terre Haute. And folks were from all over, really, who drove in to participate in this class. And if you don't know about Revere's Riders, you know, look them up. Our rangemaster out there was Brad Suttle. If you're on the forums like Ingo or whatnot, you may know him as Slim, which is a little like calling me Curly, by the way. I hope he's listening. But if you don't know about Revere's Riders, look into them because their origin, their mission, their direction is all something that I buy into 100%. I mean, a lot of what I heard today, what I participated in today, it hits me right where I live. And it's important to me. It's a big reason why I do what I do as a Second Amendment attorney and as a firearms trainer and as someone who has taken on the responsibility to defend not only my home. Yes, certainly that's priority. That is the priority. My family, that's the priority. Myself, sure. Maybe, potentially, down the road, my neighborhood, my town, my country. We'll see. A lot of folks through history, through a lot of generations, through centuries, have, in a very unexpected circumstance, been called upon to protect their community, to protect their country. And when you go to a Revere's Riders event, it's a great combination not only of training, and yes, this is hands-on training. This was a carbine class, so we're dealing with modern sporting rifles. We're dealing, a lot of folks had ARs, had AKs. There were some M1s out there. There were a number of different rifles that folks brought to this class. But yeah, so it's hands-on quality, top flight firearms instruction. But you know what it also is? And this is where the name comes from. It's a focus on the need and the decision a lot of us have made to, again, stand up and be prepared and be equipped and be trained. And oh, by the way, you know what prepared and equipped and trained means in the constitutional sense? It means regulated. Yes, to be that well-regulated militia. Well-regulated militia, as the framers wrote those words, as those words actually were construed, were commonly understood in 1791 when the Second Amendment was ratified, meant just that. Effective, trained, equipped, capable of doing their job, which is to defend their community, to defend liberty. That's regulated. Supreme Court of the United States has said that. You don't have to listen to me on that. You don't have to take my word for it. Look at the Heller decision. D.C. versus Heller, 2008. Regulated means effective. It means trained. It means equipped. And the message that you get when you go to a Revere's Riders event, this was my first, and I was thrilled to go. And it was well done. I'm disappointed I had to leave early because it was in Terre Haute and I'd come do radio. But the message you get is not just about weapon manipulation, about marksmanship, about gun safety. Certainly those things are included. But also it also takes us back to the events that led to the formation of this country. And I talk about these things a lot. I've done whole shows on the origin of the Second Amendment. I've done whole shows about the events of April 19th, 1775. Lexington and Concord. And I consider myself a student of history. I got to tell you, when you go to a Revere's Riders event, you get some history. And that's awesome. It's important history because it talks about the formation of this country. And, you know, a lot of times, and I worry that as I get older and other folks who have taken on the defense of the Second Amendment, as we get older, as we get farther away, just chronologically, from the events of April 19th, 1775, that we'll lose this understanding. We'll lose the understanding of how this country was created. Literally, how we were forged. And the farther we get away from those events, to the extent we're not passing on those messages, we're not passing on that understanding of history, we're not passing on a true understanding of how this country was created, then we lose an understanding of why the Second Amendment is so important. Because you've got all these people out there now including current members of Congress. And we'll talk a lot more about what we see as the ramifications, the effects, potentially on our Second Amendment rights of the Democrats having taken control of the House in this year's elections. But when we talk about those political issues, a concern I have is that a lot of folks in this country don't understand how this country was formed. They don't understand how this country was created. They don't understand the impetus, the motivation for the events that led to the outbreak of the Revolutionary War that literally led to the creation of this country to begin with. And you know what? You go to a Revere's Writers events, you're going to hear about that. Now, we got a little bit of an abbreviated version today because it was damn cold. And a lot of times I think if there's, and we were outside all day, it was an outdoor event. So from the time I pulled up and parked at about 8:15 to the time I got in the truck to come back and do radio, it was outside. And so we got a little bit of an abbreviated event because when we're moving around, we're shooting, we're moving as part of the shooting exercises, even getting down on the ground, getting back up, whatever we were doing, we're moving. It was a little bit warmer, so we're just standing around receiving a history lesson. It was a little colder, and Bradley and some of the other folks out there, I think understanding that gave us a little bit of a abbreviated rendition of the history lesson. But it was a fabulous history lesson. That's something I've talked about here on the Gun Guy Show, and that is that this country was created. The events that led to the outbreak of the Revolutionary War were specifically involving, at the time, gun control. Literally, gun control. After the long-running dispute about taxes, long-running dispute about taxation without representation, after the cries for independence had started to be heard and communicated and bought into, and a potential rebellion was seen as a risk by the British government, by the king, what was his first response? To quell a potential rebellion, to quell a potential revolution. What was his response? It was to seize the powder houses outside Boston. Without gunpowder, you can't fire your musket. And then it was to embargo arms, to keep arms out of the colonies, including from the Dutch. Dutch were exporting a lot of arms. The Americans were importing a lot of arms into the colonies. So they embargoed arms, they seized the powder houses, and then what did they do? They went looking to seize firearms. Yes, that's gun control from the colonists. It was a mission of gun control, of firearm seizure, that led to the events of April 19th, 1775. The battle on Lexington Common, Lexington Green, which we learned today, there's a little different interpretation of what the battle actually was in Lexington that led then to a more continuing conflict in Concord, and it was a fascinating discussion. But the connection between the creation of this country and the rights that would ultimately be recognized and protected, not created, but recognized and protected through the Second Amendment, that's a connection that we all really ought to understand. We ought to understand both in terms of our history as Americans, but our ability to explain to others, including those calling for gun control, including those people who are not Americans. How many times have you heard a Brit or a Canadian or someone else try to lecture you about your gun rights? There's something different about being an American when it comes to your constitutionally protected right to defend yourself and your family. It's different. And that's an emphasis that you get when you go to a Revere's Writers event. Tim, we'll pass the bottom of the hour. We're going to take a break. We'll be back. We always want to get your comments and calls. Man, I'll tell you what, I'm a little out of the groove here because I haven't had a show in about a month. But we always want to get your calls as well. So give us a call, 317-239-9393. If you were at the course today that I was at, or you want to discuss anything gun-related here on the Gun Guy Show, you can always give us a call, 317-239-9393. This is Guy Relford on the Gun Guy Show on 93 WIBC.